Hebrews tonight, Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bibles tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11 in your Bibles this evening. If it looks like I'm all stiff, it's because Brother Dwayne made me go golfing with him. And so Mark looks like an old man walking and hobbling. We had a good time yesterday. Good time of laughing. I'm thankful I was able to go with you guys and you guys didn't take it too seriously. So some guys I go with, man, watch out. They're intense about the whole thing. But it was a great time. Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bibles tonight. For those of you that are visiting tonight, we've been going through the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, not the whole book, but going through Hebrews chapter number 11, the great Hall of Faith chapter. And the writer of Hebrews begins to really, in chapter 10 and verse 38, he hones in with that purpose statement, the just shall live by faith. And he makes that statement, you know, from the first 10 chapters is all this great doctrine about Jesus Christ, all this wonderful teaching about how Jesus is better than the angels, better than the high priest, better than Melchizedek, better than the sacrificial lambs. He's better than the religion of the Old Testament. He's the best of the best. And man, 10 chapters of that hammer down, man, what wonderful truths that are taught. But chapter 10 and verse 38, he makes that statement. Here's the practical every day application, the just shall live by faith. Because of all this, we can live for God today. And then he begins to back up that premise with example after example of men of God and ladies of God that decided they were going to walk with God by faith. And man, we talked about a couple weeks ago, we talked about Abel, and we talked about Enoch and Noah, and we talked about Abraham and Sarah. And tonight we come to Hebrews chapter number 11. And verse number 19, the Bible says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Tonight we're going to dive into the life of Isaac. And, you know, to be honest with you, Isaac, as you read in your Old Testament, was a man that not much is mentioned about. And you look at Abraham, and Abraham had chapter after chapter devoted to him. And you read in Genesis how Jacob had a lot of chapters and a lot of verses that were devoted to him. And, of course, Joseph is a big-time player in the book of Genesis. And yet Isaac was a man that, though there was not a whole lot written about, he was still a man that walked with God by faith. And let me say tonight, child of God, whether you're working a full-time job tomorrow, whether you're a child, whether you're retired, wherever you may be at, stay-at-home mom, God expects you and God expects me to follow in the footsteps of Isaac. I think about the story of Isaac. Isaac, of course, we know was born through that wonderful miracle of God. The Bible says that Abraham and Sarah were unable to have children. We talked about that last week, how by faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. There she was, 90 years old. And man, God gave her baby Isaac. And boy, what a wonderful birth that was. What a wonderful time that was. And Isaac was the fruit of a mother's faith. By the way, moms, you are having an impact on the next generation. Dads, our walk with God and our faith is being watched closely by that next generation. And there was a son by the name of Isaac that reaped the benefits of a mom that walked with God by faith. Oh, I hope tonight that your kids will reap the benefits of your godly living. I hope that your kids and your grandkids can look at you and say, I can live for God because there was a grandma, there was a mom that set the course for me and that decided they were going to sell out for God and love God and trust God. Even though it may not have made sense, even though it was impossible for me to have a baby, she still trusted God and walked with God by faith. And so we see here in the story of Isaac, would you notice there in verse number 20 again, it says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Would you notice, first of all, in the life of Isaac, would you notice his faith? First of all, his faith involved believing God. Look in verse number 17. We'll back up. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, that in Isaac shall my seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Understand, first of all, tonight, when we come to Isaac's step of faith and his walk with God, notice, first of all, that Isaac was a man that believed God. Understand, you and I will never walk with God. We will never live that life of faith if we do not truly believe Him. If we don't believe in what He said, if we don't believe in His promises, if all we do is carry our Bible to church and think it's just a bunch of made-up stories, you and I will never walk with God. We will never be used of God like Isaac was. Look back in Genesis chapter number 20, and I want you to see his belief. Look in Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter 22. And we see the story unfolding of Abraham and Isaac going up to Mount Moriah. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 22, God said in verse 2, He said, "Take now thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and go to Moriah." Verse number 3, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. All right, notice in the story here, Abraham and Isaac, they make this journey together. How many of you remember growing up, you remember your little teacher teaching this story in Sunday school? I know for some of you that's going back like many, many years, all right? But for me, it was not that many years ago. But, I remember, there we were, and we went and we sat in that, and in Mrs. Armstrong's class, right? And Mrs. Armstrong gets down, and she begins to tell the story of Abraham and Isaac. Remember those old-fashioned flannel graphs and sticking them on the flannel graph board? Well, here's what I remember the story of Abraham and Isaac. I remember there's this old dude that looks mad. You ever thought about Abraham's not smiling? He's not happy. He looks mad, all right, in the picture. And then there's this little, like, 5-year-old boy. You know what I'm talking about? And I remember thinking, man, that's little me, Isaac, right there. And there's that mean old mean grandpa that's getting ready to kill Isaac. You understand that that is not truly the case when it comes to this story. Abraham was old, many years old. He was about 120 years old, maybe 125 years old. Isaac, his son, was in between 25 and 33 years old, according to the timeline. You understand, Isaac was not some little kid that had no control over himself. I looked online today, I Googled, I said, who is the oldest living individual? And they came back with, the Google said this, they said, according to the Guinness Book of Records, there's Janine Clement in France. She's 122 years old. And they had a picture of her. Let's say she looked 122, all right? And I'm talking about old and the skin hanging low, and they're just talking about all the things that she saw in her life. Let me just say, as I looked at that picture, I saw this story unfolding. Here's Janine Clement, all right, going up to Mount Moriah, and here's a 25 to 35-year-old individual. All right, that's right where I'm at, all right? Let me just say, if Miss Janine came at me and said, lay down on the altar, I'm going to kill you with a knife and sacrifice you to God, you know what? I'd be like, no way, Janine, we're switching places, right? Because, hey, Isaac was a whole lot stronger than Abraham, his age's father, right? And yet I see in Isaac's belief, in Isaac's walking with God by faith, I see there was a man that was submitted not only to his father, but he was submitted to the authority that God had placed over him. He was submitted to Almighty God. Understand tonight, if we are going to walk with God by faith, we've got to come to a place in our life where we are willing to put ourselves under the control of Almighty God. He was submitted just to his father, but ultimately he was submitted to Almighty God. Can I ask you tonight, child of God, are you truly submitted to God?
The Bible says that we are to submit ourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The Bible says that we are to submit ourselves one to another. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. The Bible says that we are to submit ourselves in Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your soul as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. I wonder tonight, child of God, are you an individual that is willingly placing yourself under the authority of the authority that God's placed in your life? For some, that means you're obedient to your boss. I know sometimes your boss is probably crazy and disorganized. But listen, God's placed him as your leader. He's the one that's the authority. And the Bible says that he's going to give an account for how he ran his office. Are you submitting yourself to your boss? Hey, I think about it on the home front. The husband is the head of the wife. And you know who the husband is accountable to is Almighty God. And by the way, ladies, that's a good reason why you ought to submit to your husband, is because, listen, when you step out of that umbrella, man, you're getting in dangerous territory, because, hey, as we submit to God, the wife submits to the husband. That's just how God ordained it. And boy, the importance of being the husband being submitted to God, the wife being submitted to the husband, the children being submitted to the parents. God expects us to submit ourselves to the authority that he's placed over us. You say, well, preacher, that's not what I want to do. I understand that completely, but that's how God's ordained it. I wrote this down in an illustration of a car. You know, the spark plug is not as powerful as the engine. But you know what? If the spark plug is not working right, the car won't run correctly at all, or won't run at all. So is the case when it comes to every aspect in my life. If we don't follow God's blueprints, then we will make a mess of our lives and of our situations. And when Isaac came to that place in his life, what did he do? He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to submit myself to my father. Though it may be crazy, he asked Dad the question. He said, Dad, here's the wood, here's the fire. Hey, we're going up Mount Moriah. God, Dad, where's the lamb at? And what did Abraham say? He said, Abraham said, son, God will provide himself a lamb. So we see he was submitted to the authority God placed over him. Notice, second of all, in his obedience. Notice in verse 8. Notice his belief. He said, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. I see Isaac, you know, I see his belief. I see him come to that place where he says, you know what? If my daddy says it's going to come to pass because God told him, then hammer down, it may not make sense to me, but I'm just going to keep on walking with my dad. He made the decision to what? To follow in his dad's footsteps. Hey, I love what Paul said. He said, follow me even as I also follow Christ. Hey, Abraham led the way and Isaac followed in his footsteps. The footsteps of Jesus we ought to be walking in, but we're leaving an imprint in the footsteps for others to follow. I wonder, what kind of impact are you making on the next generation? I think about footprints. I remember up in Pennsylvania, sometimes we get some crazy snowstorms. And I'm talking about, 6 inches of snow, close all Alabama down. But, man, 6 inches, we've had 8 inches. We one time had snow about 30 inches at one time, and we came back from a meeting, and, man, plowed into our driveway. It was awesome. I'm talking about snow all over the place. But you know what I think about when I would go in the snow? It was easy for me to go treading through a foot of snow. No big deal. But you know what? Sometimes Josiah and Lily, they would follow after me. You know what I think about when it comes to walking by faith is sometimes it's easy to be in the front, boy, but I tell you what, sometimes a whole lot of difficult to be on the back. Why? Because you're trusting the one that's charting the course before you. And Isaac had to look at his dad and say, you know what, it may not make sense, but I'm willing to submit, I'm willing to believe God no matter what the problem may be. We see, number one, when it comes to Isaac's faith, there was his believing, his submission to God. But notice, second of all, there and over in chapter number 26, Genesis chapter number 26, just a couple verses over, the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 26, this is really the story of Isaac and what's Isaac's main, what was he known for? Isaac was known for building wells. I see, number one, there was his believing, but number two, I see his building in chapter 26 and verse number 17. It says, and Isaac departed thence and pitched into his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Eschah, because they strove with him. I think about the story. Isaac is now on his own. He's going forward for God. What's Isaac doing? By faith, Isaac is building wells. You look at that and you say, well, preacher, that's not very productive. By the way, I think about some people, boy, that You know, they're not out in the forefront blazing a trail for God. They're faithfully serving in the backgrounds. I think, wasn't it Adoniram Judson, I think it was, that went, was the missionary that went to Burma? And if I remember, it was either Adoniram Judson or William Carey, one of those missionaries. They went to the foreign field, and man, they were celebrities. Everybody knew they were doing a great work for God. People were getting saved, revival breaking out in both of those areas. But as they went, there was one missionary that had a desire to go with Adoniram Judson, and yet God didn't let him go, and he stayed back in the States, and he collected the money so Adoniram Judson could continue to do his mission work. You know what? Hey, Adoniram Judson, he got all the praise and laud, but there was a man that was being faithful in the background. Hey, understand, friend, you may be building wells, but God's called you to build wells, be faithful building wells. And here Isaac was, faithfully serving God, faithfully building the wells, faithfully walking with God. And I see the wells that he built. I see he was, first of all, in his building, he rebuilt the walls of the previous generation. There in verse 18, it says he digged in again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. Now think about that reality. Man, here Abraham labored. And I think about the illustration of walking by faith. I think about the illustration, those that have come before us. Man, there's been labor and there's been prayer and there's been fasting and there's been a desire for God. And the wells have been built and yet they pass off the scene. And what happens? Many times the enemy comes and they fill in those wells and they come and they block them up. And man, a place that used to be on fire for God now has become dead and cold and in need of revival. And what happens? God raises up another man, another lady to go and attempt to do something great for God. I was reading today a missionary is going to Boston, Massachusetts, and he talked about just the great need for Boston. You realize that Boston, Massachusetts was a hotbed for revival back in the 1700s and 1800s. I mean, you read about Harvard. You know why Harvard was started? It was started not for, you know, to be a lawyer. It was started to train preachers for the ministry. You know why Yale was started? To train preachers for the ministry. Princeton University, to train preachers for the ministry. You look at Harvard, you look at Yale, you look at Princeton, Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, a place of great wickedness and darkness. Why? There was a generation before that had dug the wells of revival. Then they had dug the wells of preaching the Word of God, of seeing souls saved. And what happened? That generation passed away, and a generation arose that knew not God, and the Philistines plugged those wells. And I'll tell you what we need is we need some of God's people that are going to get a burden for the places where the old wells were at and get busy doing something for God. Man, I think about all over America, all over the world, there are places that people have gone and labored for God and done great works for God. They pass off the scene and God raises up another generation of men of God and ladies of God that will attempt to do something for Him. You say, Pastor, how does that apply to my life? Listen, friend, we've got a job to do for God here in Huntsville, Alabama. I was talking to a pastor yesterday, and he's a pastor and over in South Carolina. And I said, Preacher, I said, Dr. Wharton, I said, I got a question for you. He said, time out, preacher. He said, I just heard that you took a church in Huntsville, Alabama. I said, yes, sir. He said, man, he said, 40 years ago. He said, I pastored here in Huntsville, Alabama. He said, I was right down by the hospital. He said, when I was there, he said, there was about 25 to 30,000 people here in Huntsville. And we started to talk about this church, and he knew about the Christian school. In fact, if my memory serves me, he said he taught in a Calvary Christian school. Not sure where it's at, but he said he taught in a Christian school in this area. And but you know, I think about Dr. Wharton, man, years ago, he came and he started and he tried to do something for God here in this area, and God led him somewhere else back to Virginia to pastor a church. But you know what I think about old Dr. Wharton? He has the war stories, he's built the wells. I'll tell you what, it's our job to redig those wells. It's our job to get the spade out and we'll start going to work again and start trying to do a work for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not time to sit back and make a memorial of the wells of days gone by, but no, Isaac said, I'm just not content to look at the wells as my dad built in days gone by. But no, he went out and he got that shovel out, him and his fellow co-workers, and together they rebuilt the wells that the Philistines had filled in. Boy, he was busy in rebuilding the walls. I love it. He rebuilt them in the same location with the same name. He didn't try to reinvent the wheel. Look at verse 20 of chapter 26. It says, and the herdmen of Gera did strive with Isaac. Man, there was conflict. You realize that, child of God, when you try to do something for God, there will be conflict. You know, I am sick and tired of these preachers that say, well, let's all just get along and smile together, hold hands, sing kumbaya, and let's just have a big old time. Listen, when you are doing something for God, there will be conflict. You say, Preacher, why is that? Because the Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. The world would love its own, but ye are not in the world, but I have called you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you, Jesus said. Listen, don't expect the world to get along with us. Now, I look at what's taking place in our political scene, and I ask myself the question, why in the world are they so anti-Christian? Why are they pushing their agenda about the LGBT community, you know? Why are they making such a big deal about all this wickedness? I'll tell you why, because, hey, they're promoting the world's agenda. They're promoting the devil's agenda. Listen, they're not going to get along with us, all right? Because we are at odds, because, hey, they're fighting for the wrong team. We're fighting for God's team. There will be no peace until Jesus comes back. But understand, as believers, as we go forward for God, there will be conflict. And there will be battles that we will face. And there will be struggles. And let me just encourage you, child of God, when the battles come your way at the workplace, hey, stand for God. I talked to my brother Drew a couple days ago. He's a teacher at the public school teacher up there in the Chicago area. And I asked him, I said, hey, Drew, I said, what about the transgender bathrooms they want to put in? And man, I'll tell you what, he started to pull out his gun and started to talk about it. He's like, I'm not backing down. He said, it may cost me my job. He said, but I'm going to stand where God would have me to stand. I may be in the public school system. He said, but I'm not going to cave into the pressures and act like it's okay. He said, I'm going to stand where God would have me to stand. You know what? There will be conflict for Drew. But he's going to do what's right and stand for God. That's exactly what Isaac did. Man, Isaac's rebuilding the wells. He's digging the wells. Man, there's conflict. But notice what happened by faith. It says in verse number 22, it says, and he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. Now think about this awesome story. Man, there he was. He saw his daddy charting that course for him by faith. He said, I'm willing to submit myself to my dad's authority. I'm willing to lay down my life as a sacrifice to please Almighty God. Of course, God spared him there. We see that he goes and he builds the wells, and what happens? Because of his obedience to God, God blesses him. God said to Isaac, he said, I want you to know, hey, just as God was with your father, so I'm with you, and we're going to go forward together by faith. I'm going to bless you, and your seed is going to come, that promised Messiah. Man, Isaac experienced the blessings of God because of his obedience. We see, number one, we see his believing God. Number two, we see his building for God. But look back in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 20 again. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 20, the Bible says, by faith Isaac bless Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. You know, as you go through Hebrews chapter number 11, I think I mentioned earlier that this really is the highlight of one's walk with God by faith. You know, you think about Noah, the highlight of his life building the ark, right? Enoch, the rapture translated that he should not see death. You know, Abel being that prophet and dying because of his brother's wickedness. You know, you look at these men and they were the highlights. These were the pinnacle moments of their life, right? Well, you come to Isaac. Here in Hebrews 11, verse 20, what's it say? It says, by faith, Isaac, what did he do? They didn't point out that he built the wells. They didn't point out, and to be honest with you, I would look at Isaac's life, and I would say, you know what, the highlight of his life of faith was willing, being willing to lay his life on that altar, not, you know, fight against that. I mean, that's where I look at that and be like, man, Isaac is getting ready to pass. You know, he's just about ready to die. That sword is out. Abraham's getting ready to sacrifice him to God. And I would say that would have been the highlight. But God said, no, here's the highlight of Isaac's life by faith, is that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. What was he doing? What was the highlight of Isaac's life is the fact that he was a blessing. He was preaching a message to the next generation. We know the story about Esau. Esau was a very wicked man. The Bible says that Esau married some ungodly wives. Esau walked away from the God of Abraham. Esau disobeyed the will and the word of God for his life. And yet, what did Isaac do? Isaac preached a consistent message to both of his boys. What was he preaching? He was preaching about things to come. Let me say, Dad, especially Dad, as we think about Father's Day coming up here, not this week, ladies, it's a big day, all right? But next week, Father's Day, all right? And I tell you what, you better mark it on your calendars. Don't forget it. But I think about that, you know, I think especially about fathers. I wonder, are we preaching the truth about things to come to our kids? Let me just say something. The world is preaching their garbage at them. They're trying to promote their truth. I wonder, are you preaching the truth? What did Isaac preach? He told them about things to come. What was to come? Well, you read from there on, man, you talk about some amazing stuff that came to pass. Man, God did some amazing things, but Isaac was preaching that message, the Messiah is coming. He was preaching that message that one day you will stand before God. I love what Job said. He said, in my flesh I'll see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold none another. Hey, Job understood that. Isaac and Abraham understood that. One day they were going to see God face to face. What was Isaac preaching to his kids? He was preaching the truth. He was preaching the truth that the Word of God is true. He was preaching the truth that, you know what, though you may not see God with your physical eyes, you better walk with Him. He was preaching that truth. Hey, we're living here in the wilderness as pilgrims. Why? Because we believe what God said. He called us to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He was preaching a message that there's a real heaven and there's a real hell. There's a real street of gold and there's a real fiery furnace, and you'll spend eternity without Christ. He preached the truth of the Word of God. I wonder, are we preaching the truth of the next generation? He preached the Word of God. One of the greatest legacies that we can leave with the generation to come is the truth of the Word of God. We are living in a day and a time when dads and moms are not telling their kids about the truth of the Bible. Let me remind you, dad and mom, grandma, grandpa, uncle, aunt, niece and nephew, whatever your position may be, it is your job and your responsibility to reach the next generation with the gospel of God. Let me just say, it's just not the job of the church. Hey, the church and your pastor and the different ministries of the church are tools to help facilitate your responsibilities as a parent. But let me say, dad and mom, it is our job to warn our kids about what's taking place in the future. And the Bible says that by faith, Isaac preached that message. He preached the truth. But I love also, as he went on, he practiced what he preached. You know, as he was preaching the truth, you know what Isaac was saying? He was saying, hey guys, look at my life. Hey, I'm preaching this. Hey, look at my life. If I'm not living what I'm preaching, then they'll point it out. But boy, he practiced what he preached. I wonder tonight, child of God, are you by faith following in the footsteps of Isaac? Isaac was a man, 33 years old, 25 to 33 years old, willing to believe God and submit himself to his dad's authority. He's willing to believe God, though it seemed crazy. He's willing to believe God. Number two, he was willing to rebuild the wells that were stopped up. Stepped out by faith, rebuilt the walls, suffered the conflict. And I see thirdly and lastly, he was a man that was willing to bless his kids with the truth to come, and he preached that message, I'm practicing what I'm preaching. I just wonder tonight, child of God, where are you at when it comes to your walk with God? Are you walking by faith? Some practical truths that we can use here in the next couple days. We need to believe God, submit ourselves to God. We need to be faithful in doing what he's called us to do, and we need to be living what we're preaching. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, just some simple reminders, some simple truths, really, God, about Isaac. And yet, Lord, they're so powerful, and I'm so thankful for them. I pray tonight that we would leave with the determination by faith to live what we're preaching. Lord, he preached, talked about things to come. Lord, help us just not to be hearers of the word, but help us to be obedient to it. Lord, I pray that we would be rebuilding the wells, redigging the walls. Lord, be busy, Lord, doing what you called us to do and making an impact for you. And Father, I think about by faith, he was willing to submit himself to the God of his Father. Lord, help us to be obedient to you. And Lord, I pray that we take these truths tonight, and may they transform and change our lives. In Jesus' name I ask it.